It is Friday, January 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, revelers welcome 2016 throughout the world as terror remains a major concern. Reports surface that the White House spied on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Generally agreed that both the President and Prime Minister Netanyahu have agreed to put the past unpleasantness behind them. And so I really don't think this is going to be a major breakthrough.
And singer Michael Jackson achieves a new posthumous breakthrough. It's all ahead. From New York to Australia and beyond, millions ushered in the new year at large celebrations, largely without incident amid tight security. As the famed crystal ball came down in New York, thousands welcomed the new year in Times Square. Australian celebrations lit up Sydney Harbour, and in Japan, balloons were released into the night as the new year began. In Belgium, the celebration never got underway after authorities in Brussels canceled New Year's Eve fireworks displays amid fears of terrorism.
I think it's a good and wise decision. There could be a lot of confusion if the fireworks started, so yeah. I agree. I live just around the corner, so for safety, I think it's better, yes.
Police in Munich, Germany, ordered the evacuation of two train stations after receiving what they called a concrete threat on New Year's Eve. Fortunately, no incident occurred at the stations. The main fireworks display on Paris's Champs-Élysées Avenue was canceled, but authorities displayed a video on the Arc de Triomphe. French President François Hollande said in a New Year message that France is not finished with terrorism and that the threat remains at its highest level. Well, in Dubai, hundreds of thousands of people witnessed not only fireworks at midnight, but a huge fire engulfing a high-rise luxury hotel near the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. All residents have been evacuated from the 63-floor address hotel after it became consumed in flames late Thursday. Initial reports said at least 14 people were hurt. One of the witnesses was VOA United Nations correspondent Margaret Bashir, who's spending the holiday in Dubai. She spoke with International Edition's Jim Stevenson.
I was having dinner tonight for the new year, just under the Burj Al Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world, and where they have the spectacular fireworks show planned. And we had dinner in a restaurant out on the terrace near the fountains. They have fountains like the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas, for instance. And then the address hotel where the fire broke out is about 1,000 meters maybe, or a little bit more, away from the Burj Al Khalifa, separated by one of the world's biggest shopping malls. And at about 9:30 local time, the fire started, and it spread very rapidly up the building.
That's what we have heard from other eyewitnesses, that this was an extremely fast-moving fire.
I couldn't believe how quickly we were. First, we just looked up from our table and said, oh, my goodness, there's a fire. And then all of a sudden, the whole building was engulfed. So it was really quite shocking to see. And there's smoke and fire still billowing from the buildings. And it's actually, the smoke is blowing towards the Burj Al Khalifa now. But the whole north side of the address hotel, which is a very five-star luxury hotel where I'm sure many people were celebrating New Year's Eve because it has such a wonderful view of the fireworks show. Seeing it looked quite terrible, and you wondered how people were going to evacuate.
What was the immediate reaction where you were? Were officials on the scene quickly? Were they trying to move people out? Did people stay in place?
Yes. There were hundreds of security present all day long in downtown Dubai, and hundreds of security in the mall itself and on the area on the esplanade near the fountains, and they really did move rapidly. About maybe 15 minutes after the fire really got raging, they started moving people indoors because there was flaming debris falling off of the hotel. It wouldn't have hit where we were sitting, but it probably could have hit some of the people in restaurants that were a bit closer to the hotel. And the authorities, you know, made everybody move inside. The people were very orderly. I was afraid with so many thousands of people in the area, there could be some sort of a stampede situation, but the authorities seemed to have really managed the crowd quite well.
And a lot of people indeed were outside waiting for that spectacular fireworks display, perhaps the biggest and best in the world for New Year's, and that went ahead.
It did. They were going to have it in several places in the Emirate of Dubai as well as in the other Emirates of the United Arab Emirates. So, and Burj Al Arab is where midnight kickoff was to happen. And they still went ahead with it. And we actually were told to leave the restaurant at around 11:30. And so we proceeded out through parking garages and things to avoid the hotel. And we were in the street with thousands of other people. And they were cheering when the fireworks started. They were very happy that the show went on.
That's VOA United Nations correspondent Margaret Bashir in Dubai. She was speaking with International Edition's Jim Stevenson. Well, looking at social media, there are more than 900,000 tweets under the hashtag Happy New Year's. People are showing photos of many celebrations around the world. There's also the hashtag Hello2016 with more photos of celebrants, as well as shots of New York and London ringing in the new year. And that's a look at social media for the first day of 2016. In other news, the Indian capital, New Delhi, has launched an ambitious initiative to curb the city's deadly levels of air pollution by restricting the number of private cars on the road. Anjana Pasricha reports from New Delhi.
The new year began on an unusual note in the Indian capital. In a city where roads are usually choked with cars, many citizens used public transport, auto rickshaws and cabs, arranged carpools or simply stayed at home. Some young people cycled to their destinations. It was the first day of an experimental 15-day plan by city authorities to slash by half the number of private cars on the road by allowing those with odd and even-numbered license plates on alternate days. The aim? To clean up the city's toxic air, which the World Health Organization says is the world's dirtiest. Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal led by example by picking up his colleagues on his way to work. He says the city seems to have embraced the anti-pollution drive.
I am truly overwhelmed by the response that we have received so far.
Many citizens and school children came out into the streets to support the initiative wearing caps, saying I can't breathe, and urging people to cooperate.
So for this present generation and upcoming future generation, we should follow this rule.
This is an emergency. It's a public health emergency. We all know that.
Children are among the worst affected. Doctors have noted an alarming increase in the number of young people with respiratory ailments. They warn that diseases such as asthma, chronic bronchitis, and lung cancer are also on the rise among the general population. The fumes from Delhi's mind-boggling 9 million vehicles are a major contributor to the city's dirty air. With 1,400 new ones being added every day, the problem is only worsening. Particulate matter in the air, which gets embedded deep inside lungs, is 10 times the safe limit. The alarming air pollution has gotten the attention of the top court. Last month, the Supreme Court banned large diesel SUVs in Delhi and hiked taxes on commercial vehicles. Many citizens were skeptical, however, questioning how a city with a poor public transport system will cope. Although authorities have raised the frequency of metro trains and added about 3,000 buses, many say that is inadequate to meet the needs of a sprawling metropolis of nearly 20 million people. They also grumble about those who had been exempted, high-ranking officials, women driving alone, and two-wheelers such as motorcycles. Despite that skepticism, the first day appeared to have gone well. That has made Chief Minister Kejriwal optimistic.
Delhi will show the way to the rest of the country.
That still remains to be seen, with many pointing out that the initiative's true test will come only when the city is fully up and running after the long holiday weekend. But environmental activists say that in a country with 13 of the world's 20 most polluted cities, Delhi's measure to restrict cars is an important first step in the right direction. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
This is VOA.
Here's science in a minute.
NASA's InSight mission was to be its next Mars mission. But the space agency recently had to scrub the launch, scheduled for March, after determining that a leak in the prime instrument of the spacecraft's science payload could not be repaired on time. Specific planetary alignments needed for a launch to Mars occur every 26 months and last for only a couple of weeks. So, if the InSight is unable to make its March 4th to March 30th window, the next chance for launch won't be until around May 2018. The much-acclaimed Mars Science Laboratory mission experienced a similar delay when its intended 2009 launch was postponed until November 2011. NASA says that while it remains fully committed to the scientific discovery and exploration of Mars, a decision on what happens next for the InSight mission will be made sometime in the coming months. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Michael Jackson achieves a new record. The chairman of the U.S. House Intelligence Committee has reportedly indicated that his committee will look into media reports that the Obama administration spied on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and that involved private conversations with U.S. lawmakers. Republican Congressman Devin Nunes says he has asked the director of the National Intelligence and the head of the National Security Agency to brief lawmakers on the matter next week. It follows a story by the Wall Street Journal this week that despite a pledge from President Obama 2 years ago to curtail eavesdropping on friendly heads of state, the White House decided to keep a close watch on Mr. Netanyahu. The paper, citing current and former U.S. officials, said the information gathered would help counter Israel's strong opposition to the international nuclear arms agreement with Iran. Mideast analyst Michael Fishbach of Virginia's Randolph Macon College tells International Edition's Victor Beatty he does not believe the revelation will harm bilateral ties.
Everybody knows that the United States is entering into the election cycle for a new president, and I think that all eyes are looking toward other factors as far as what's going to determine U.S.-Israeli relations in the future. Number two, it's generally agreed that both the president and Prime Minister Netanyahu have agreed to put the past unpleasantness behind them. And so I really don't think this is going to be a major breakthrough as far as changing the tenor of American-Israeli relations or the relations personally between the president and the prime minister. Now, what it does for the president's relationship with Congress, which is controlled by the opposition Republican Party, is another matter.
The White House, in a statement, said, "We do not conduct any foreign intelligence surveillance activities unless there is a specific and validated national security purpose." So they left some wiggle room there.
Well, I suppose the president's staff might be thinking, and who knows, perhaps there's some degree of truth, that in his conversations with congressional leaders, was the Israeli prime minister being given information, even unwittingly, by members of the American Congress, information that was classified under American law and not supposed to be revealed to a foreign leader? Now, politically, that may not make a difference to the president's critics, but given the traditional American worry about disclosures of classified information, disclosures of methods, how American officials obtain the information that they do, there could be some in the administration who felt that they were worried that Congress might be, however unwittingly, passing along information to the prime minister of Israel, and that's why they ordered this kind of spying. I will also say that it is embarrassing, if proven true, for the president for another reason, and that is recently he agreed, or the government released the American spy who had been in prison for so many years, Jonathan Pollard, who was, of course, an American accused for spying for Israel. So if here's a case where the Americans were themselves spying on Israel, it could make the president look bad.
That's Michael Fishbach of Randolph Macon College. There was no immediate Israeli government response to the report. Fishbach says it is in the interests of both countries to play down the report, and Israel, he says, stands to gain the most from the current negotiations on a new 10-year security pact with Washington. This is VOA.
I'm Millar Sega, host of VOA's The Correspondents, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support of Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that affects almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day, wherever the news may be. our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondents, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
This is International Edition. The late Michael Jackson has been thrilling music fans for decades. VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald tells International Edition's Jim Stevenson that there's a new milestone for the pop star 33 years after the release of one of his biggest albums.
It's actually turned 33. Mm. It was released on November 30th, 1982. But yes, 30 is the number of the day because this is the first album to go 30 times platinum in the United States, and that means record sales of greater than 30 million, according to the Recording Industry Association of America, and it's unprecedented.
That's not bad, to quote another Michael Jackson record.
That is not bad.
Where did you come from, baby? And ooh, won't you take me back? Got a way you want to be, baby. Tender roadie, you got to be. Find my need, just sugar fly with me.
Thriller, of course, was a cultural phenomenon. It spent 37 weeks at number one on the Billboard album chart. It has sold more than 100 million copies worldwide. And Michael Jackson has sold more than 1 billion records in total. Mm. And the numbers are just mind-boggling. And what's even more mind-boggling is that when he died on June 25th, 2009, he was an estimated $500 million in debt. You might remember that it seemed like everybody was suing Michael Jackson. He was just surrounded by legal issues. Mm-hmm. He was hemorrhaging money. But in the past 6 years, the Michael Jackson estate has pretty much dug itself out of that gigantic hole. As of June 2015, the late Michael Jackson's net worth was an estimated $600 million. His estate has generated around $2 billion, and that comes from record sales, his concert film This Is It, and a Cirque du Soleil show that features the music of Michael Jackson. So right now, his estate has just about broken even.
This isn't the first time that we have seen a departed artist doing almost better in the afterlife than when they were around.
Well, of course, Elvis Presley is another great example because they've passed into cultural legend and their records just keep on selling. They're legacy artists. And I don't see any drop-off for Elvis and Michael in the coming years.
The Thriller video was probably one of the most lasting visual images that we have of Michael Jackson.
It was the most expensive video ever at the time it premiered in 1983. Yeah, it helped put MTV on the map, mm-hmm. and it helped make music videos what they are today. That's another lasting legacy that Michael Jackson can claim.
A groundbreaker in many ways, and now in the monetary realm. Breaking ground each and every week is our Top 20 Countdown host, Ray McDonald. You can find him out there on Twitter.
At Ray on the Hits.
And we hope you follow him. Ray, thanks so much for stopping by.
You got it, Jim. Thank you.
The music of Michael Jackson from his album Thriller. Well, please look at our website. You can access it at voanews.com. We have a range of stories that might interest you. Also, looking at social media, you can look at VOA Asia. There are a number of interesting stories and items for you to look at. Also, if you happen to be on Twitter, please follow us. You can get to International Edition. We're on VOA_IE. And also, I have a Twitter site as well. It's at VOA Williams. So there are lots of ways you can keep track of what we're doing here as the new year begins. And Happy New Year. Happy 2016 to everybody. Well, that's our show. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States condemns the terrible attacks carried out by Boko Haram in Nigeria, December 25th to 28th, as well as other recent attacks in Cameroon, Chad, and Niger. In these attacks, Boko Haram killed dozens of innocent people who were targeted as they went about their daily lives, attending service at a mosque, shopping in a neighborhood market, or simply traveling down a road. We extend our deepest condolences to the families and loved ones of the victims, and we stand with the people of Nigeria and the region in the fight against Boko Haram. Boko Haram has no regard for human life. Its vicious attacks against the innocent, including women and children, and its use of children as human bombs prove its true nature as a purveyor of hate and terror. Although Boko Haram may be able to kill innocent people, it cannot succeed in imposing its will on the people of Nigeria and the other countries of the Lake Chad Basin. The people of this region are not cowed by Boko Haram. They continue to demonstrate remarkable resilience and unshaken resolve in living their lives as they work, take care of their families, and go about day-to-day living. The United States remains committed to helping Nigeria and its neighbors counter Boko Haram's senseless acts of terror. Despite much progress over the past year, due in large part to newly bolstered Nigerian and regional efforts, more work remains to ensure the people of Cameroon, Chad, Niger, and Nigeria can live in peace. The conflict has affected the lives of communities across the Lake Chad Basin region, with some 2.5 million internally displaced people and more than 170,000 Nigerian refugees forced to flee their homes. The United States provides advisors, intelligence, training, logistical support, and equipment to our African partners as they work to defeat Boko Haram. We also support those affected by Boko Haram's violence through ongoing humanitarian aid and victim support services. The United States will continue working with our partners in the region to identify new opportunities to support their efforts to stop Boko Haram's wanton violence and restore order in the Lake Chad Basin region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials. We'll be right back.